May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, Lord Jesus, not only be acceptable in your eyes, but may it speak the truth of our faith in a very bold way. The tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. Amen. I was a student warden in the hostel in which I lived. My hostel's name was Thomas Pringle. And so when I, you know, there's an Afrikaans word for a theological student that's so beautiful. It's called a tokalok. Did you know that? A tokalok. A tokalok is a theological student in Engels. So I was student warden, and then we have the main warden at the bottom of us. In other words, I had to look after the students on our floor, our two floors, the residents there. And on a Friday, I had to check in and out if boyfriends have left, sign the thing, open the door, physically inspect the room. I hated my job, but it paid well. And I had a group of Zimbabwean girls on our floor. And every Friday night, like clockwork, when they went to the Vic, I went other times, I also just need to confess it is Lent. When they went to the Vic, which was the local hangout point, they would stand at the end of the corridor and shout down the passage, "Padre," that was to me, "any parting words?" And I'll reply, "Do not be tempted and fall into temptation." And they would respond, "Not what we wanted to hear." Lent is a reminder. Lent is a reminder to us of Christ's victory over evil and temptation. Victory over evil and temptation. You and I are never exempted from evil or temptation. It's like a constant companion walking beside us. A Cherokee teaches his grandson a life lesson, and he says to his grandson, "Son, I want to remind you this morning that there are two wolves. There are two wolves that are also fighting, always fighting. There's a conflict within you. Are you hearing me? Can you? Can't? I was going to do a demonstration. Let me go back. Now I can't do the demonstration. It's not going to be the same." So the grandfather says to the boy, there's always a conflict within us. It's on, Roger. I promise you, you turned me on earlier. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me now? Is it better now? So the Cherokee teaches his grandson and he says, in every human being, there's always a conflict. And it's like two wolves fighting within your inner core. The one is evil, greed, selfishness, seeking only the best interest of self and never considering the other. Whilst the other is good, there's joy and there's peace, there's humility, there's a sense of perseverance, endurance through all things. And that conflict continues no matter who you are. Each one of us always have that conflict within us. Do I do it? Don't I do it? And so after teaching him the lesson, Russell, the grandson says to his father, "Grandpa, which wolf wins?" And after considering it, the grandfather says, "The one that you feed." So saying that you can resist anything but temptation is speaking into your own life and into your own spirit the wolf that you ought not feed. You and I are called during Lent to have a consideration, as we did on Wednesday when we gathered for Ash Wednesday. The important message for me of Wednesday, there were a couple of things out of that, but our primary theme: how do you live Lent? How do you ensure that the wolf that you feed speaks into the spiritual disciplines that are required of us, not only during Lent, but also beyond this time? What I'm hearing as a lesson from this particular Cherokee and his grandson And you and I have exactly the same conversations within our own homes. We have at our dinner table, in the car, wherever we are, dropping off our children at school, is always accompanied with a whole list of, Ma, I know what you're going to say. Be careful. Watch yourself. If you feel nervous, always do what is right. Speak the truth. Our children grew up with that. I didn't, because we grew up in different times. But the challenge is to ensure that we speak into the lives of our children the importance of recognizing temptation and being mindful of that conflict within us and which hoof we need to feed. A definition of temptation is this. It is a challenge that enables us to test how firm we are in our choices. Shoo, what a tall order. It is a challenge to test how firm we are in our choices. Many people, as in the biblical time, find it hard to believe that even Jesus could be tempted. But the scripture of this morning from the Gospel according to St. Luke tells you exactly that. And you and I, who also become challenged, ask the question, how could the Messiah, the promised Savior of the world, the Son of God, be tempted? And our reminder to those who struggle with that particular question is very simply, yet very deeply profound for us in the Christian faith, that Jesus Christ was both human as well as he was fully divine. The first temptation, as in the verses 2 to 4 in Luke, is a temptation that gives us more than just the devil's test of Jesus' ability to withstand temptation. The devil's real target here is the relationship between Jesus and the Father. You know, it's like standing in front of a bully when a bully says to you, I'll show you. You know that feeling? It's like the devil stands in front of Jesus and says, so if you say that you are the Son of God, man, show it. The real deal is wanting to undermine Jesus' confidence in his relationship with God. And so, friends, casting doubt upon one's identity or upon what God has said is one of the tools generally used by the devil in tempting us. Where is your God? Show me. Show me the power that has been given to you in the Great Commission of Matthew 28. Go out and make disciples of all people. Show me. Secondly, in this temptation, we are given a glimpse of the humanity of Jesus. Anyone here like me fasting? Anyone here fasting? It's hard. You're not fasting yet. From today, I'll hold you to it, Russell. After 40 days of fasting, Jesus' humanity comes through, and Jesus is hungry. And his experience of intense hunger helped him to identify with the many in our society that goes without food and went without food. Identifying with many who lack the basic necessities of life. Jesus shares our human condition. The devil sought to distract him from this by enticing him where he says again, man, if you are the Son of God, take these stones and turn it into bread. But Jesus is so good. In his principle, he stands against temptation. And I think those girls from Zimbabwe that says to me, Padre, not the answer we wanted to hear. I think the devil was just as disappointed. Man shall not live by bread alone, says God, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You and I, as we continue our Lenten journey and our walk in life, human beings get hungry and tired, we fall ill, we can be deceived, fall victim to accidents, we are oppressed by different forms of injustice. How could the Son of God identify with all of that? But I think Jesus knew that he could not fulfill God's purpose and mission if he gave in to the temptation all around him. The temptation for power, the temptation to be the first in all things, the temptation to be recognized. You know, that kind of temptation is also a temptation that we fight. We do that in our workplace. We do that at school. I'm not recognized for what I've put in. And you bring that home, and mom goes to school. No, dad. Let's use dad for a change. Dad goes to school. And what do you want to do? No, I just need to check that teacher. We do that in our family. We do that all. The need for us to be first, to be recognized, to be thanked, it's a temptation. And to live Lent as Jesus did is calling us to be mindful of the hoof that it is that we are feeding. And so, friends, Jesus is calling us as we consider our Lenten journey to be mindful of how the devil wraps temptation in different packages. Power, influence, wealth, greatness, status. You need to be vigilant of how exactly you want to live through Lent. May the one thing that you are intentional and consciously going to do be this: that you will not feed the hoof that is evil, that seeks power and pushes other people down. May you feed the hoof that is good, that offers joy and peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, and truth. Because if you do that, you will honestly live Lent. May God help us in our Lenten walk, that we will live Lent in a way that will honor Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we consider God's word to us, let us sing together and remain seated. Gumbaya, my Lord, Gumbaya.